Outside the curved walls of the Senate, the crises in the outlying systems had little effect on the lives of the billions who resided on Coruscant. Beings living in the lower levels continued to do their best to survive, while those living closer to the sky continued to spend lavishly on food, fine cloaks, and tickets to the opera, which Valorum had returned to fashion. Palpatine was an exception to the rule. In what sometimes seemed to him like perpetual motion, he met frequently with his peers in the Senate, listening carefully to what each had to say about galactic events, but not so carefully that any had reason to suspect him of being anything other than a career politician, fixed on enhancing his profile. If there was anything that set him apart, it was an impression he gave of taking his job perhaps too seriously. With just over a year remaining in Valorum's second term of office, the chancellorship was up for grabs, and those who knew Palpatine best suspected that he might actually pursue the position if asked. His equivocations on the matter only made him more desirable to those who thought he could bring something new to the mix, an authentic centrist viewpoint. Others questioned why, given the unprecedented challenges of the times, he or anyone else would aspire to the position. Several days after the Senate met in special session, Palpatine violated the privacy he so valued to host an informal gathering in his suite in 500 Republica. The move to Coruscant's most exclusive address had coincided with Ars Varuna's ascent to the Naboo monarchy 12 years earlier. Varuna's victory had hinged on a renegotiated contract with the Trade Federation for Naboo's plasma. Although it was widely believed that the king and his cronies had fared better from the deal than the citizens of Naboo. Unlike the apartment Palpatine had occupied when he first arrived on the capital world, this one had a dozen rooms and views of the government district surpassed only by those from the building's spacious penthouses. The Nuranium and Bronzium statue of Sistros, which still concealed the lightsaber he had constructed early in his apprenticeship, shared space with antiquities that had been procured from remote worlds. Fashionably late, Finis Valorum was one of the last guests to arrive. Palpatine welcomed him at the door, while a contingent of cloaked and helmeted Republic guards took up positions in the corridor. The Supreme Chancellor's round face looked drawn, and perspiration beaded his clean-shaven upper lip. Clinging to his arm, like an adornment, was Saeteria, ostensibly his administrative aide, but also his lover. Just inside the threshold, Valorum hooked his thumbs in the wide blue cummerbund that cinched his robe, and stopped to take in the suite and nod in appreciation.
What the Holonet newshounds would give to see this. It's hardly a penthouse, Palpatine said dismissively.
Not yet, he means, Corellia's senator remarked, causing several others to lift their drink goblets in a kind of toast. Palpatine pretended to mask embarrassment. Once he would have been acting. Now he wore the guise of Naboo's senator as effortlessly as he wore his robes and cloak.
Journalists are more than welcome to visit, he said.
Valorum cocked a silver eyebrow in doubt.
Now that you've gotten them accustomed to transparency and accessibility, Palpatine added.
Valorum laughed without mirth.
For all the good it has done me.
Saeteria broke an awkward silence.
You certainly make no secret of your favorite color, Senator.
The lids of her oblique eyes were colored to match the burgundy of her sept-silk robe. Her dark hair was twisted into an elaborate bun behind her head, while in front, bangs bisected her flawless forehead.
Scarlet figures prominently in the crest of my ancestral house, Palpatine explained evenly.
And yet you favor black and blue in everything you wear.
Palpatine's thin smile held.
I'm flattered you notice.
Taria's expression turned devious.
Many have taken notice of you, Senator.